Well, bless the Lord. I just want to reiterate some things this morning, okay? We're in a period of fasting and prayer. And fasting is not an option, it is a must. And when a corporate prayer and fasting is called, it is, it is vital. Let me just use that word. It is vital that God's people show up in prayer. Can I get an amen? And that we believe God. We don't just show up, but we believe God for what He is going to do. How many people know that we serve a good God? Now, when you position yourself to do God's will, you know what you're doing? You're humbling yourself. And that's what we spoke about last week. We looked at several things. We screamed on last week, and I told you that God has already provided healing for you. Okay? And not just physical healing, but financial healing, mental healing, emotional healing, whatever healing you may need in your life, God has already provided it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ covers all things. Amen. And that's a good place to be in. And that's why it's good to serve the Lord and to know His word. God has provided for us salvation. Soteria is a Greek word, one of the Greek words used, and that means everything, gain, nothing missing. Another Greek word for salvation is the word sozo, which means to save. And that is talking about temporal as well as spiritual saving. So what do you need saving from? It's covered by God's word. God has already provided that. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4, verse 13, that and my God shall supply all of my needs, not some, all of my needs, according to His riches in glory. And I keep saying, the last time I checked, God wasn't broke. And the Bible also tells us in 2 Peter 1, 3, that God has provided for us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, as we humble ourselves before God during this month, January, ministry is not on. And by the way, you still can bring, cereal, rice, milk for the school that we support. We still can do that. But as far as ministry is concerned, we're stilling ourselves. Because we're saying, Lord, we just don't want to rush into 2022. And God is saying to you, church, that you cannot go through 2021 the way that you went through 2022. So if you used to come church, miss service, come church, miss service. The Holy Spirit is saying to you, that does not glorify God. That needs to stop. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Or can it be louder?
Amen.
It needs to stop. Here and there and being everywhere and not being in the house of God where you ought to be when you can. I know there's something that comes. I know that. It does not glorify God. And that's one of the things that we need to change. That no change will happen when you begin in the flesh, but if you don't start, if you don't humble yourself properly before the Lord, nothing will come of it. You need the Holy Spirit's cooperation. Oh, you need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Because we want His will to be done, not ours. His will to be done. Okay? Now, if you are going to believe God and move in the realm where you believe that God is going to do more in your life, if you're expecting God to do more in your life, just to put it that way, you know what? I put this on the screen for you today. That true expectation triggers preparation. So if you really expect God to do something in 2022, and you're saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to pray more, and I'm going to fast, because I realize from your word, Lord God, that some things from my life cannot be removed unless I decide to fast. Jesus told those words to His disciples who could not cast a demon out of someone. And Jesus turned around and said to them, this type of demon does not leave, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So there are some things that we must do and it's not an option. And one of them is fasting. You want certain things to be removed from your life? You need to fast. And you need to pray. So true expectation triggers preparation. So you prepare your heart, you prepare yourself, you humble yourself, and you listen to teaching that's given. You listen to your leaders. You listen to your bosses, even at work. Yeah. And you listen to your parents. And you won't be rebellious against them. We looked at some things last week and said, well, what can hinder the manifestation of God showing up? What can hinder the manifestation of God's power working in our lives? What can hinder the manifestation of healing? a financial breakthrough. And we looked at this one thing last week called cancer of the soul, which is prayer. Cancer of the soul. We looked at that, we went into a lot of detail, pertaining to what cancer is and what cancer of the soul is and the damage that it can do and the importance of God's people actually not just in pride saying, oh, I haven't got that, but to stop and say, hang on a minute, has it crept in? What's my attitude like? What's my behavior? What's my response to the teaching of God's word? What's my response to what the Holy Spirit is saying to me? Am I doing His will? Yes, I raise my hand, but am I doing what God wants me to do? Because acknowledging that you're having is not enough, and we need to do something else about it. So we looked at that last week, and we said that the Holy Spirit, I told you that the Holy Spirit is saying to His church, press the reset button. Press the reset button. When you press the reset button, everything is wiped away. And that's what we need to do. Wipe away the disappointments of 2021 and 2020 and maybe before. Wipe them away. COVID-19 has caused havoc and it's caused disruption. And I don't know if I shared it publicly with you. I know I was talking with Pastor Dre, but I can't remember if I said it with you that there are three areas where this is affecting unbelievers, where the enemy is trying to infiltrate in this world. Number one, the church. The church. The enemy with an ability will do everything we can, especially a church like this that teaches God's word, to get you away from the word of God. And get you busy on a Sunday morning, get you busy on a Thursday when we're supposed to meet and pray, so that you can't pray, so that you don't pray. Because he knows that prayer is the one weapon that enemy cannot communicate. A true believer that begins to pray, nothing can stop him. I've read reports of Christians, people who are not Christians but were witches. And they shared what they used to do. They used to go out on the street. And they shared as they taught others that joined their ranks and their realm how to operate, how to behave, and who to avoid, believe it or not. And I've read in my own eyes reports of a former witch who was saying, when you go out on the street, oh, you see those group of people praying again? Stay far away from them. Stay far away from them. But these ones here, these ones that, you know, or wherever else, yeah, these are the ones that you should talk to. Because he knows that Christians who are truly praying and really praying, they're covered by the blood of Jesus. Come on, isn't that good news, church? You're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why I got you to say this morning, but I didn't even know I was going to do that. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Church, is that good news? Don't ever tell you never, tell you never, say never, that's good news. No, it's good news, man. No weapon formed against you. It didn't say won't try. It said won't prosper. Right? The devil will try his utmost best. But if you're in prayer and wrapped up in prayer, there's nothing he can do about that because prayer is the one weapon he cannot duplicate. Can't do it. Alright, so what else can hinder manifestation? Apart from a prayer. As we press the reset button, we wipe away everything and we say, Lord, we're reset now to your word, to your will, to the way that the manufacturer, you, Lord, created me to function. Not according to what I want to do. Not according to how I think or what I think or what I feel. Too much of that going on in these days, especially in the church. So what else can hinder manifestation? Ignorance. I'm not talking about ignorance today, but that's so important. The Greek word for ignorance, which is mentioned in the New Testament, is the word skotos, which means darkness. It means to lack knowledge. It means to be without information. Okay? And the Bible says that we are children of light, Matthew 5. And the Bible also says in 1 John, I believe chapter 5, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So God, who is light, created His children and said that you are also light. So you see, we're created, and I think I'm coming to that, we're created in the image of God and after His likeness. God expects your father, I keep saying, expects His children to function like Him. God does not function in ignorance, and neither should we. I would just say to you, 2 Peter 1:3, that God has provided everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. So if He's provided everything, then we have a responsibility to look into the manual, look into the Word of God, see what is provided for us, believe it, and then act on it in the name of Jesus. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm going to talk about the purpose and power of decrees. I believe I mentioned that last week, Sunday. The Lord dropped that into my spirit. And so I'm going to be talking to you about something that we're going to be operating in on an individual basis and certainly as a church corporately more in 2022. I've never talked on this subject before, but I think my prayer is that after today, you'll have a lot more clarity pertaining to what this is. Before I go into talking about degrees, I will look at two other words very briefly. One of the things the Lord said to me in the week was, don't do an in-depth study. So you're getting the surface today. And even though you're getting the surface, you're getting a lot of information. But you need to pay attention to church. You need to pay attention to what I'm saying or what the Word of God also is saying. And I'm going to try and bring clarity in regards to, you know, how we should function pertaining to this. Now, over the years, I've taught on confession. Taught it so much. I know a lot about this. I don't know the Greek words by heart, etc., etc. I didn't deep to get the true meaning of the, and the essence of what God is saying. That's why I look words up. Confession is a Greek word, homologia, which means to say the same thing. It's a compound Greek word, homo and logia. Homo, say, logia, word, to say the same word. So God expects us to say the same word. One word, the word that God has already spoken. So if you're believing God for healing, you've got to go to God's word. What has God said about healing? Find out what he says and then say the same thing that God says about healing. We see Peter, I've got a scripture here, but Peter, quoting from the Old Testament, said, by his stripes we, that's it, were healed, not I, were healed. Why? Because healing's already been provided for. Healing has already been provided for. Alright, so Romans 10, verse 19, that you confess. You say the same thing that God said. We know about the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. So that's one word, confession. The second word is the word proclamation. That's also in the Bible. And a proclamation means to call out. It means to read aloud. It means to cry out. So when you're proclaiming something, guess what? You are making it known, widespread. I'm proclaiming to you today that Jesus Christ heals. Oh Lord, that was so weak. I'm proclaiming to you that God delivers people today, as he did yesterday. And I'll give you an example of the scripture of Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim liberty and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, etc. Alright? So proclaim. God has done that. But it's also, it's in the Old Testament, it's also found in the New Testament. I'll just give you one example. Okay, the proclamation or the word proclaim in the New Testament. And its meaning. It means, from that Greek word, peruso, it means to publish openly something which has been done. To announce, to shout forth. It's an announcement of something that you are carrying. So when you're carrying God's word, and you know that that is in you, you know, that truth, depending on what it is, you might want to proclaim to others. You might want to proclaim out loud so that others can hear that truth. A proclamation is a bolder announcement than a confession. A confession can be announced, it can be a bold, but proclamation is more bolder, generally speaking. Homologia, you're saying the same thing. Proclamation, you're saying it out loud. Now look at decree. Look at the word decree. The word decree is an official order, or the meaning of decree, an official order issued by a legal governmental authority. And that's important. I'll repeat that. An official order issued by a legal governmental authority. authority, a governmental initiation, the word and the law of a government. That's what decree actually means. Now, I'm coming to our position in just a moment, but let me show you something else about decrees, okay? The word decree, Hebrew word kethad, it is a written edict, a royal decision backed by divine authority. Now, a written edict. An edict is just an official order or declaration, that's all. It's an official order or declaration. So, a decree is a written edict or a royal decision backed by divine authority. In Esther chapter 8 and verse 8, we see an example of this. You yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. That was how things happened back then. And we see a lot of examples actually in the Bible about the king and his signet ring sealing what was already written. And I believe we're coming to another example of this in the Old Testament soon. So, I'm not going deep, but I'm giving you the surface. Let's look at all three. Okay, on one screen, just very briefly. So, homologia, to say the same thing. Proclamation, to announce something. And a decree is an official order of something. That something being whatever it is that you're ordering, whatever it is that you're saying. Alright, so to say something, to announce, and a decree is an official order of something. So it's something that's being said or proclaimed, but it's official because it's got the king's or divine authority with it. Okay, now are you following me so far? Church, are you following me so far? Alright, now decrees can be made by kings. Good or bad. Decrees can be made by rulers, good or bad. We see examples of good kings, bad rulers, or bad kings, bad rulers in the Bible. Decrees can also and are made by God. And your Bible, by the way, is full of the decrees of God. The word that you have from God are decrees. They're royal authorizations of authority that God has given you to act on. Now, decrees can be unrighteous, or they can be righteous. They can also be serious, as in Daniel chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, very briefly. In Daniel chapter 6, the story of Daniel. And Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, because some people were conspiring to bring Daniel down. You know the story. The king, they forced the king to write a decree, to write an order, official order, and the decree was done in under the assent of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. So once the king made it, not even the king can reverse that order, that decree. And then the king made a decree that nobody should worship anybody, and you know the story. And they found Daniel was praying to his God, as he did three times a day. They went to the king and said, "King, here's a man. You made a decree that nobody should pray to any other god, nobody should worship any other god. Here's Daniel praying to his God three times a day." The Bible says something very interesting, that the king Darius, who he was at the time, he loved Daniel. And he did everything, the whole day, the Bible says, from morning to night, he tried his best, he did everything he can to get out of that decree, and guess what, he couldn't. That's how serious that he took it. Not even the king could reverse that decree. So it was very serious as we got up there. And he mourned, and he did everything he could. In the end, he had to give up, and he said, "Okay, there's nothing else I can do, do it." And then the king said this, he said, "Daniel, your God is able." This is a king who didn't know God. Right? This is by the love of Daniel, and I believe he saw God through Daniel. He said to Daniel, "Daniel, your God, whom you serve, will deliver you. I'm going to throw you the lines there because there's nothing you can do about it. I've got to do it. I've written it. It's my decree and I cannot reverse it according to the law of the very means and persons. I'm going to pass you to the lines there. But your God is able to deliver you. And the Bible says that the king did not sleep the whole night. It was the morning, the whole night. Early in the morning, he got up and ran to the pit of the lion, the lion's den, and shouted, "Daniel, has your God delivered you?" And Daniel replied by saying, "Fear not, O king. The Lord has sent his angel and preserved me and kept the lion from eating him." And the Bible says that the king was exceedingly glad. He rejoiced. What I'm saying here is that decrees were serious. Decrees in God's word today for us, church, they are serious. God takes them seriously. And so should we. Are you here? Good. I hope you're listening, because sometimes in today's world, people use words. But they don't pay attention to what they say. The words, they say something and then they wait. They don't carry out their promises, church. You know that. You and I are living in the world. You know that. We come across people that are flippant with their words. "Oh, I love you, I love you." "Oh, Pastor, people, oh, Pastor David, you know, I'll do this and I'll do that." And they don't. They don't. And I'm sure you've come across that as well, even in church. Now, what I'm saying here, for Paul, so let's just move on to this, right? That the Bible says that we are kings and priests. And you've got to recognize that and realize that we've got to see ourselves how God sees us. Because you know what? If you don't, we're just going to function like a mere man, as Paul puts it. You're just going to function like a mere man. We're not mere people. We are God's children. Come on, shout with me, "I'm God's child." That means something, man. It means something to God. It should mean something to you. We're not mere men and women. We are God's children. We are God's agents. We have God's authority on this earth. We're not just mere men. We've got God's power. Come on, church. But if we don't recognize that, it will just be empty. It will just be empty, meaning nothing. But it says he's made us kings and priests to God, to his God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And it's made us kings and priests to our God. We shall reign on the earth. So the pastor David is in the future. The book of Revelation is in the after. Yeah, it's in the future. But it's also in the present as well. It's there in your Bible. I've taught on this. I'm not going to go teaching on this again right now because of time. But I will bring across a couple more scriptures to you. To bring across this point. What was God's intention from the beginning? God's intention from the beginning, church, was for you to rule and reign. Was for you to have dominion. That was God's intent. When God created Adam and Eve, he wanted them to rule. Can I get an amen? He wanted them to rule. God's intent for us today is still for us to rule. That's why he's given us authority. Alright? In the beginning, he said, "Let us make man in our image." Semen is a Hebrew word which means in your form, T-S-E-L-M. It means in your form, in your shape, in your figure. And according to our likeness, it's another, doesn't remind you. It's demons. But that word likeness, it means to function now. So God created you with his form and also to function like him. So to look like him, but also to behave like him. That's what that word likeness is. To function like God. And then what did he continue to say? Let them have what? Dominion. That word dominion is the Hebrew word radar. Radar. R-A-D-A-R. What does it mean? It means to rule over, it means to reign, it means to subjugate. It means to have dominion. I'm using the same word. But that's what it means. It means to reign, to subjugate, to rule over. God wants you from the very beginning to have dominion, to have rule. And God intends for us now, today, the church has that authority to rule And to have given it, Luke 10:19, before that give you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. I've shown that verse, but in coaching. But the essence is there. God has given us power, and we have it. But if you don't know that you have it, you won't use it. But you cannot now know that you have it and not use it, because God intends for you to use it. That's why He gave it to you. All right. So I'm going to show you how to use it in a bit. So that's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Peter, 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation and a," there you go, "royal priesthood." Come on, shout, "I'm a royal priesthood." You are part of the priesthood of God. And that priesthood of God is royalty. You talk about, they talk about the queen, they're talking about all sorts of different things with Prince Andrew at the moment in the news, Prince Harry as well in the news. These are members of the royal family here on earth, but you belong to a much more important royal family, and that's the royal family of God. And you have power that no man can take from you. Oh my God. I said you have power that no man can take from you. You have it. And it's time to use it. God wants to raise up a generation in 2022 that will say, "Stop no more, enough with the nonsense, enough with the selfishness, what I want, enough with me, I mean, I tried it, it didn't work, now I'm going to do it God's way," in Jesus' name. And because you've made that decision, I decree this, that you will see results in your life. You'll see those walls come tumbling down. Church, you will see the chains broken in the name of the Lord. Chains that own you, that God didn't put there by circumstances or people or whatever is put there. God says, "No, that's not how I want you to function." And it's going to be broken in the name of the Lord. But you know what's going to cause it to be broken? God's people rising up and using the authority that they've got at His user. So you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. God has called you to bring praise to Him. Hello? God has called you to bring praise to Him. And when you do, you're going to see stuff happen. Just like we'll see the Bible. We see what's a ton of examples of that happening. Now, can't get too excited because I need to move on. You have keys. Matthew 16, 18, and 19. It says this, "And I also say to you that you are Peter." Jesus was speaking to Peter at the time. And he says, "And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." But he went on to say something else. He went on to say, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom." Can I ask you this question in the pause? Is God still building His church? Oh, you're not so convinced. Is God building His church today? Yes. All right. Who is the church?
We are.
All right. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now, when you hear the word keys mentioned, but in this context, and most times the scripture is used figuratively, it means authority. That's what it means. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." You know the correct rendition is, another verse that says, "Whatever you bind on earth will already have been bound in heaven." You see, because what happens on earth, and it's the way God's designed it, it's already happened in heaven. So the authority is coming from where? Coming from heaven, where God lives. And God is saying, "The authority that I've created, what I've already prepared on heaven, I'm making it available on the earth for my people to use, for my church to use." So whatever you loose on earth is already loose in heaven. God has already authorized it. God has already done it in Jesus' name. That's why I'm telling you, church, you have got power. You've got authority. Wake up to that. Use it in 2022. Do not go through this year the way that you went through 2021. Doesn't matter what comes at you. God, do you think COVID-19 was something God didn't know about? Do you think COVID-19 could ever stop God from operating? Then if it's not stopping God, why should it stop you and your God's children? And God has given you everything that you need here on this earth to be the men and the women, the boys and the girls that He's called you to be. It's time for us to wake up. Come on, somebody shout, wake up. Somebody said, shout, wake up. We need to bind the works of the enemy. That's what we need to do. Use the authority that you got. Bind. You can't bind Satan. The people pray wrong. And you can't bind Satan. You can't. You can't bind it. But you can bind his works. I hope you get that. There's only one person who can deal with Satan once and for all, and that's Jesus Christ. And it's coming back to you. Listen to the Bible again. It's there. He's coming to deal with it. But you can, by God has given us, Luke 10:19, I just quoted it to you, power over all the power of the enemy. You can buy his works. But only can you buy his works, you can, guess what? Lose. Come on, somebody say lose. Come on, somebody say lose around here. You can lose what? Heaven's domain, heaven's power, God's will, the authority that God has, whatever you want to come about that is in God's will and in line with His word, you can lose it in your life, you can lose it in your environment, in Jesus' name. And God is looking for such people that believe that. You need to find the works of the enemy. So let me give you some examples, okay, of what we need to find. Some things we need to find. Let me just help you here. We need to find bad habits. Come on, you know what bad habits are. Don't tell me I'm not. You know what bad habits are. You need to bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. You need to bind poor decision making. Come on, you know. I'm bringing it home, church, because all of us sometimes have had poor make. I have. I'm free, so I can say this. I've made poor decisions in the past. And sometimes the poor decisions that I've made has come around and turned around and bite me. I won't go into no more examples of how that's happened in the church. You know that we have. You know that we all have. But thank God for Jesus. He doesn't look at that and say, see, you made that bad decision. I'll never do that again. No. He already knew that you were going to do it before you did it. And He's forgiven you. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And so we can always stand with boldness in the before the throne of God, before God Himself, we can come with boldness to the throne of grace. And we see heaven and mercy in the time of need, man. And God is always there. Procrastination and laziness. Don't want to activate that. You hear, especially in this church. You've got to activate your hands. You've got to do something. You're not belonging to you, you belong to God. God has placed you amongst believers to work together for His kingdom to bring about His purposes. We hear that time and time again, but we still procrastinate. Still procrastinate, still lazy, don't want to be involved with nothing. Needs all around of nothing being done. Unforgiveness is still holding on to that hurt, that pain that someone did long time ago, and you're carrying it with you, and it's affecting your future, and you don't even see it because it's so bitter. Then you become bitter because you've held on to that, and I don't see why I should forgive them because they did this to me, and you don't understand that forgiveness equals release. When I forgive, I'm released from that. When I refuse to forgive, you attach yourself to. Somebody needs to hear me. Come on, somebody shout, let it go!
Let it go!
Amen. Let it go. Alright, negative talk and limitations that you allow people to place on your life. Now, there's, of course, is wisdom sometimes in knowing how far to go. Because we all have limitations. But sometimes we allow people to place limitations upon us, and that holds us back. Negative talk, addiction. Whatever it might be, drink, drugs, smoking is an example of addiction. Pornography. And by the way, pornography causes separation. You indulge yourself in that, you're moving further and further away from God and God's sins. So I just put that there Pornography should have nothing to do. Be careful what you're looking at. Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful of images that come to entice the flesh. And again, that's why fasting is good. Because fasting says, no, I'm cutting off the desires of the flesh in Jesus' name. And I'm opening up my spirit to God. Because 2022 is going to be different. You're going to be aggressive. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. But it's for what? Violence. That's you and I who take it by force. And sometimes we're going to be violent in our decision. We're going to speak to ourselves violently. No! I will not do that. No! I will not carry the weight of not praying with God's people. I won't do that. I will do everything I can to do what God wants me to do. Because I'm doing things God's way now in 2022. Come on, say it with me. In 2022, things will be new. In Jesus' name. Wrong friendships, stubbornness, and rebellion. Just a few examples of some things that we actually need to find. We need to find stubbornness and rebellion. I think I spoke about that last week. I won't go into that this week. But let me go back to this word decree. I'm going to show you another Hebrew word, because this is very, very significant and poignant to what I'm saying today. Let me show it to you right here. There's another Hebrew word called gezar, and it means this: to cut off, to destroy, to eliminate. Say with me, it means to cut off, destroy, eliminate. Say it again: cut off, destroy, eliminate. There are things in our lives that we need to cut off, we need to destroy, and we need to eliminate. If we're going to see the purposes of God rise up, you've got to cut some things off. What? Let me give you some examples. You saw the example of there from Job 22:28. We've got to cut off negative influences. We've got to destroy the lies of the enemy. And we've got to eliminate selfish desires. These are the three examples that I put up there again. You might have more, you might say different things. It doesn't really matter. But folks, we're going to use our authority. And we're going to use now our decrees to cut things off. Remember what that scripture in Matthew 16:19? Whatever you bind on earth, yeah, will be already bound in heaven. That's you cutting off. You're binding the authority, you're binding the influence, the power of the enemy in your life. You're binding that in Jesus' name, and then you're loosing. Okay, what God wants to happen in your life. So we're going to cut off some stuff. Whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to you, we're going to cut some things out. Because you know what? It's sucking up your joy. It's sucking your strength. It's distracting you, pulling you away from your purpose. Pulling you away from what God wants to do. It might look good, it might look fancy, but when the Holy Spirit speaks, you're going to cut off maybe some bad decisions that you're about to make. And you're going to destroy the lies of the enemy, telling you that, oh, you'll never be better. You'll never come to anything. You'll never accomplish this, or you'll never accomplish that. I want to tell you that the devil is a liar. And whatever God says you can do, church, you can do it. In Jesus' name. I can't tell you the amount of times in my life that people come to me and say to me, you know, people of authority as well, oh, you'll never come to this, or you'll never. One person looked at me one time and told me that I'll always be broke for the rest of my life. Yeah, what a thing for a person of Christian, for a person of authority to say. One person looked at me and told me, you'll never get promoted. This was when I was working for BT. Another person who was influential and in the power of position and in leadership told me that. Both instances are rebuilt internally. I put a wall up, talking about walls coming down. I put a wall right up, right there. I said, no, not me, in Jesus' name. So, folks, sometimes you have to cut things out. You have to destroy the lies of the enemy. And you have to eliminate some stuff. Because it's not doing you any good, it's sucking your way. It's distracting from what God wants to do and accomplish through you. So, let me give you three things to note. Right? Three things to note. Number one, and you must know these things. This is so important. Number one, we are God's legal agents on the earth. I'm going to repeat myself, you know, because if you don't recognize that and if you don't know that, then forget it. If you don't see yourself as God's legal agent on the earth, As God's man, God's woman, if you don't see yourself as God's child, then you're looking through the wrong lenses. And the result will always be the same. There will be no significant change because you're looking through the wrong lenses. And so therefore, you are defining yourself wrongly. 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul was speaking there and he said to the church, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of a kingdom. The ambassador lives in a different country, but he represents, in that country, he represents another kingdom. Again, years ago I did a whole teaching on this. He lives in a different country. We are ambassadors. We live here on the earth, but guess what? We're representative of God's kingdom. Can I get an amen? We represent a higher kingdom than the United Kingdom. The Bible says that specifically, the Bible says that God's law, the Bible is God's law that decrees how we should live. So you don't have to wonder how should I live, but you should live according to the Word of God. And that's why Bible study is important. That's why getting into the Word is important. That's why fellowship with the Holy Spirit is important, because the Holy Spirit will reveal some things to you. I've been a Christian over 40 years, 47 years, and I've read some things over and over and over again. And it's only sometimes in recent years that I'm reading the same passages and I'm seeing new stuff that come out. What has happened? The Holy Spirit is showing me some things. Because the Word is so precious and so deep and so pure and so mighty that the Holy Spirit can, at times He will. And I'm sure you have examples of this where you read the same thing, but my gosh, you're seeing something different. You're seeing a deeper revelation. Anybody been there? It's not just part of the Bible. Of course not. This Word is filled with decrees from God on how we should live. James 1:22, BBA. Doers of my word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. John 15, verse 7. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, and my word abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done for you. That's the law, that's the decree that God has put in his word for us. Colossians 3, 16. Let the word then of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom. So we must know that we are God's legal agents on this earth. We must know that the Bible is the law that has decrees on how we should live. And then the third thing, God's law must be released out of our mouths. Now I'll give you references there because I haven't got time to go through them. As I said, I'm going to keep this as short as I can. But I'm going to show you something else now. So, you've got to know who you are, you've got to understand and value the right and proper place of God's Word. This is why you can't have your Bible and have it just sitting down there, not reading it, or just listening it, I'll take you to church on Sunday. That's not good enough. Especially today, today's age, we better be reading the Word daily. You better have a daily intake of God's Word, because we need it. Your spirit needs it. God's Word must then be released out of the mouth. And this is where the parallel lies. Let me show you something. This might be fresh to a lot of you. We read the verses, but then listen to this. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? By the word of God. When God created the earth, we see it in Genesis 1. When God created the heaven and the earth, how do you know it? He did it by the power of his words. His words had power, his words of authority. And as he spoke, guess what? He came into being. So the worlds that we see today, not just this planet, the worlds out there, look in the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars. And we know this, we know that God is one of created the stars and named them. And some of them are named in your Bible, in one of one place. In your Bible, God created them and he named them. And I believe another scripture says that every star that we see in the night sky, every single one, man doesn't know every single one. Man can only see to a certain degree through telescopes, but God has created more than man can see, and God says every one of them, he named them. Wow, what an awesome God. He named them. The words that we understand were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Important statement there. We must use our words to frame things which are not seen, to bring them from the invisible realm into the realm of the visible. Are you with me, church? God framed his words to bring about what was not seen into the seen. We've got to frame our words to bring about what is not seen into the seen. Can I have a loud amen? That's what God wants. This is the essence of our Christian living. Operating and functioning according to God's will for his kingdom and his purposes, not ours. Alright, so let me give you some statements here. Every single one of them important. Number one, a decree is voice activation. You're going to decree something, you better use your voice. It is voice activated. Okay, going back to Genesis chapter 1, I'll just use that. You know, this is not a deep study, but God, when God said, and God said, and it was, and God said, and it came to me, and God said, and it came to me. Whatever God said, it happened. What did he use? His voice, his words. A decree is voice activated. Now, if we are royal citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we are, if we are kings and priests, and we are, and if God has endued us with power, and he has, and if God has given us authority, and he wants us to use all of that to decree what we don't see and to bring it into being in Jesus' name. But you've got to use your voice. You've got to use your mouth, man. You've got to use your words. You've got to, there's no way around it. Decrees override facts and upholds truth. Decrees override facts and upholds truth. Let me give you an example. It is a fact that you have a headache, but the truth is that you're already healed of that headache. Did you get that, church? It is a fact that you have a lot of money right now in your pocket. But the truth is that you've got more than enough in Jesus' name. It may be a fact that you are in debt. But the truth is that you are debt free in Jesus' name. Are you listening to me? That those truths only come to realization for those that humble themselves and say, Lord, my will be done. Lord, what does your word say? Seek my face. Seek his face. And seek his word, get into his word. Those are not too busy to get into the word of God, but make time for it. And find out what the facts are, find out what the truth is, more importantly, and then take that truth and make the time to get it into your system. I'm going to show you how to do that. Get it into your system before you decree it. Oh, another truth. Facts are temporary and subject to change. Facts are temporary and subject to change. Truth is established and will stand forever. You hear that, church? Facts are temporary and subject to change. The sickness you have in your body is temporary and subject to change. The lack that you're experiencing is temporary and subject to change. That boss that you have at work that's hindering you from promotion is temporary and subject to change. The children that you have that are unstable seem to be haywire. It's temporary and it's subject to change. But truth is established and will stand eternally. Give you the choice, facts or truth, which one would you prefer? Truth. So open it up.
Truth.
Truth. Why? Because it's established and it stands forever. Remember this verse I gave to you last week. Behold, you desire truth. Where? In the inward parts. Talk to me now. What are the inward parts? No. You behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. What are the inward parts? Which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You need that truth there that's, remember now, established and permanent. You need that to come about, to change whatever may be temporary, whatever facts may be there. You need that to come in to your soul to change you. And in the hidden part, you are making soul wisdom. What is the hidden part? What is the hidden part? Father, I have taught on this.
Yes, son.
Did I teach from the Lord?
Yes, son.
What is the hidden part? You said it just now. Two of you said it. But I want more of you to say it. The hidden part is the... I know you're playing with me. I don't even know if it's real. It's your spirit. It's your spirit. Stop teasing me. It's your spirit. You desire truth in your head. You see, when you got saved, you know this. When you got saved, what part of you got saved? The hidden part, the spirit, became converted with God. God only speaks to your spirit today. You've got to speak to your flesh. Right? You got saved, but guess what? You still have those habits. You still have those desires, possibly. Some people, they've got religion, others, it's still there. Right? So now, you have got to put God's truth inside of you, okay, to help you deal with those urges, those things that are wrong. To help you, and that's why I said to you before, remember now, the 12 disciples were 12 disciples before they became apostles. Disciples mean mephetes, Greek word means learners, it means disciplined ones. You've got to be disciplined to learn before you can become apostles. One set forth. Jesus spent time teaching them. And then they had to discipline themselves to receive his teaching, mature in his teaching, before they could be sent out. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to discipline ourselves to taking God's word. Okay? So that God can do what he wants to do through us. Alright, so let me give you some areas, and I'm going to close in a minute. Let me give you some areas of decrees. Healing. Some areas that you can decree over. Because we know from God's word that God has already established it, provided for it. So we're going to find the promise, and then we can decree it. We can decree it. We can speak with authority. We can decree it. We can establish it. Bring it about. Bring it from the unknown to the known. Because God has given us that kind of healing, deliverance, provision, wisdom, protection, favor, peace, strength, and the list goes on. I'm just giving you some examples here. You could give more. You could add to that as you like. These are just some areas of our lives where we can decree a thing and see it established in our lives in Jesus' name. This next decree is very important. I'm going to give you 7 D's to issue a decree. This is how you do it, and I'm winding down. Okay? 7 D's to issue a decree. Number 1, decide on the scripture. Decide on the scripture to use. Healing. So you decide, there's so much scriptures on healing. Decide which scriptures you're going to use, man. Focus your heart, focus your eyes, focus your mind on those areas. Don't look at the negative. Don't look at where we tried that before. Don't look at, remember now, we're leaving everything in 2021 and we're going afresh. We're going for it in 2022. And that's what God wants. God wants his people to trust him. Stop talking about all the reasons why it didn't. Look at all the reasons why it should and can and will in Jesus' name. Decide the scripture. Draft it on paper. Define it. And detail it. In other words, don't just say, Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. No. You're going to detail it. You're going to define it. You're going to name it. Name it in Jesus' name. Date it. The time is time to do this. Date it. Declare and decree it once it's inside you. Direct it. Direct your decree. Okay? In Jesus' name. And don't doubt it. Remember that. If you allow doubt to come in, but the good day tells us quite clearly, let not that man or woman think that they should receive anything from the Lord if you're in doubt. To doubt means to waver. It means to be in 2 places at the same time. It means to be in 2 minds. And you can't. There's several words used for doubt, which again I'm talking in the past, I'm not going to go there now. Now, what I have done, folks, today, I want us to go through this year differently. I want us to go through this year with a mindset and a purpose that no matter what, I'm going to do what God's word says. I'm going to put it to the test. Already, maybe some of you are seeing areas or knowing areas where you need to work on. This is why we're humbling ourselves now. See, I'm giving you this teaching now so that you can use through the rest of 2022. But the Holy Spirit is still speaking and working on our hearts. He's still saying, hang on, you still need to line up. So you may not be, can I say that, Lord? You might not be at this point ready yet because you still got issues dealing with to make decrees. And you're going to deal with those lies, you're going to deal with those things. But it could be that you making those decrees will get rid of those lies. Get rid of those stuff. So maybe you start in a different area and you need to deal with some gremlins first. In the name of Jesus, cast them out. Then, when you cast them out, you humbly say before God, you get to this word. Now you can begin to focus on other things and maybe the healing that you need in your life and in your body. I've prepared this for you, and there's some at the back for you to take. Okay? You don't need this. You can use paper. That's what I've done in the past. I've used paper and used it, but I've got that because I've had it in the office for some years. I brought some A4 size. I will say this, if you want A3, I can get some to you, but let me know. And the best way for you to do that so that I don't forget is to maybe drop me a WhatsApp. Just drop me a text or a WhatsApp and say, Pastor, could you produce one of these for me in color black, A3 size? But I've got some A4 size. Take it, man, and then do what I'm telling you to do. Write on it, okay, the area that you're going to make these decrees. Okay, the thing that you want to see established. Okay, write it on the paper. What you want to see happen in your life, or what you want to see be eliminated from your life, if that's the focus. Write it, and then just follow these steps. Follow these guidelines, these 7 B's, to put them to being. I'll give you an example. Remember, I told you two times in my life, doctors told me. One time, he told me that I'll never walk without a limp again because I had what they call acroceliac joint dysfunction. Went to my doctor, and the doctor said, oh, gosh, oh, you might walk with a limp for the rest of your life. Went to a specialist, they told me the same thing. I didn't believe them. I didn't walk in one ear or the next. Second time was when I was blind in one eye. I lost my sight, couldn't see in one eye. And they discovered that I had a burst blood vessel at the back of my eye. And told me I would never see again. I refused that because I brought all my strong reasons before the Lord. Lord, you call me to ministry. So it's not matter, but I hear what you're saying, Lord. No, I believe for my sight in Jesus' name. It didn't happen day one, day two, day three. It didn't happen 1 week, 1 week, two. But I can't remember exactly when it happened, but it happened. Oh, sorry. But it happened, thank you, Pastor. It happened, folks, and it happened when I was in Atlanta visiting my brother. Suddenly one day I found out, we were running one day, I just found out when we came back and said, hang on a minute, I can see. I closed that eye and I looked at him. And I could see, before I couldn't see anything, pure white, with one little speck, you know, just because I shared with you, and you prayed as well. I shared that there was just one, in that white blanket, there was just one little thing that you couldn't even see properly out of. Right? So I was blind in one eye, and I didn't believe it. I believe God. This is what I wrote. Word specific. Okay? And this is just an example that you can see for yourself. Let me read it. First thing, healing in my body. I declare in Jesus' name, that should be, that's wrong anyway. But what should it be? That topic, what should it be? What should I have written? Healing in my eye. So see, mistake number one. Alright, now I just wrote this, I don't want it last night, okay? Just as an example, I declare in Jesus' name that my sight is restored to full and complete health. In Jesus' name. I decree and declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me, my health, I condemn, pull it down. In Jesus' name, I stand on your word which declares that all my diseases are healed. Thank you, Lord. Reference scripture. And date whatever it is that you begin to make that declaration. Date it. Okay? Name it and date it. Alright? So I'm using God's word here to verses that I've got where I've chosen to use them. Now, I didn't, wasn't these exact words, but the words similar to that. Every single day I pray, I declare it. I didn't say, Lord, Lord, please, no. I decree it. When you decree what you do, you place an order. You place an order that needs to be established. So I order and I decree that my sight will be restored. I order and decree that my joints, you know, bone running is bones, what they say, and get that 3 years of your life. Some people walk around, they live 3 years of your life, and they say, then you're going to be one of those. I didn't accept that. I decreed in Jesus' name that everything was okay. And in time, it happened. Folks, you've got the power, you've got the authority to decree. And it will happen. You will see it in Jesus' name. Now, all you have to do right now in this time that we're in is press the reset button. Press the reset button. Those thoughts that come to you that says, nah, that could never happen. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, to do what? Pull it down. Somebody say, pull it down. And that's what we need to do. Pull it down in Jesus' name. Stand on God's word. Use the authority that God has given. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'm finished. Let's bow our heads.